You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yep, we are indeed solid, conservative, just plain right. Going now to one of my favorite segments every single week on Thursday afternoons at 4 o'clock, we convene what we call the Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the coastal regions of our state, and our own Dale Jackson, the program director and morning show guy right here at WVNN. I think both guys are calling in, so let me just do a roll call and make sure I got them and we got connectivity. Do I have a Dale Jackson on the phone right now?
Alabama's most trusted journalist is here. He is afraid of Alabama's most toughest journalist, Jeff Poor.
That being said, do I have a Jeff Poor on the line?
I am present.
All right. Well, then the most trusted and apparently the toughest, I'm not sure what title I have, but I'm just sitting here with the rest of you. Copper, hit that sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, we have convened the Grand Council. You know the deal, fellas. We ask each other questions. We run back and forth on the answers. We see whether we agree. I'm going to start with the first one. I'm going to ask you this. Today is 1 year to the day that Rush Limbaugh passed away. I'm asking you, was Rush Limbaugh an influence on you as you thought about the future of doing conservative talk radio? Jeff Poor, you first.
Yeah, he absolutely was. It, more than just talk radio, though. Like, you ever hear the term Rush Babies? And
oh, yeah.
People that go into the conservative movement because they were raised on Rush Limbaugh, right in the back seat of their parents' car. Well, I mean, I'm from that generation. Rush comes on the air in the late 1980s. He got on the Birmingham market in the early 90s. And that's why I started listening to him when Dad was taking me, drive me around in the car, and that's how, it all sort of makes sense, and you put your worldview together.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the thing I said earlier in my monologue. I talked about this very thing. My son, we said he was a Rush baby, because he literally sat in his car seat swinging his hair back and forth when the Rush soundtrack came on. He grew up listening to it. And, Dale Jackson, what about you, man?
Probably not as much as Jeff Poor, but yeah, I can definitely say that Limbaugh was a big influence. Before I was in talk radio, I was a talk radio listener, and he was one of my favorites, and I enjoyed him up until the very end, and I was very sad to see him go. You know, I've worked on a couple of different radio stations around the state and around the country, and you'd always rather be on the Rush Limbaugh station as opposed to against the Rush Limbaugh station.
No, that's exactly right. And I would guess, too, I mean, whether or not we even listened to him, the fact is he sort of helped develop the genre that the three of us have a chance to be a part of now. So,
yeah, no doubt.
There's that. All right. That's enough of the touchy-feely questions. Dale Jackson, you go next.
Do we really have to do this Katie Britt met with Trump stuff every couple of weeks? Are we going to be having this until the very end where we pretend that we think that Brooks is about to lose the endorsement? This thing out of the Politico started it. Now the Hill has it. But the message by Trump and Brooks is Trump's going to be part of a fundraiser. Trump has confirmed that. You know, the quote by Brooks, I think, is pretty funny, where he says, whatever she said to him, we thank him. Do we have to do this every couple of weeks?
Probably. until they have the fundraiser and Trump appears next to him in a photo with a post date at the bottom of the photo, it's going to keep coming up because – You know, and I'll be honest with you, one of the things that I think is probably one of the most tiresome commercials out there, and Katie Britt has run some good commercials, but the one where it keeps saying, did Mo Brooks really support Trump from the very beginning? Well, so what if he didn't? Trump supports him now. I mean, what matters is not whether or not you bought the product back in the day. What matters is whether you're buying the product now. And so that commercial, when you stop and think about it for more than 2 seconds, is really kind of hollow. Jeff, your thoughts?
No, and there's a lot of weird things going on here. The Trump inner circle doesn't like Mo. They're leaking some of these stories to the press. the D.C. press is getting stuff from McConnell, and then there's just the mainstream media bias that wants to marginalize Trump. All that is playing into this, and that's why that narrative stays alive. There's a lot of wishcasting going on here. Trump's not helping things by laying low. I think he may even be playing both sides to some degree. But we're going to, like you said, Phil, we're going to have to do this every few weeks until Trump finally appears next to Mo Brooks and we can put this to bed.
Yep, I agree. Ask your question, Jeff Poor.
Let's talk about the Secretary of State's race. Wes Allen not getting much traffic. I know you had him on today.
Yeah.
What do you think of that race? Handicap that race. It seems like Jim Ziegler right now, but could Jim Ziegler hang on through the primary?
Dale, you go first.
Well, I'll tell you this. If he does, it's a bad day for Alabama. John Merrill, say what you will about him. I'd rather have him on MSNBC defending the state of Alabama in its honor every single day over Jim Ziegler. It's going to be a disaster if he wins. That's the narrative that they're going to have to somehow build against Jim Ziegler, that he's just an embarrassing clown operating in a one-man circus, and we need to stay away from that as much as we possibly can. But I have a feeling Jim Ziegler is going to do a lot better than a lot of us think, and that's not going to be good for the state of Alabama at all.
Yeah, you know what's weird is if you spend some time with Jim Ziegler, you realize he's a smart dude, but he comes across so awkwardly. I mean, he's got very awkward mannerisms, and truthfully, I agree. He doesn't. If you gave him an interview opportunity with Don Lemon, it would be awful. But that being said, never underestimate Jim Ziegler is one of the things we've always found to be true. I think the truth is that Wes Allen kind of coasted for a while, thinking he was keeping his powder dry, didn't know he was going to have big competition. And then suddenly Jim Ziegler, who was talking about governor, went wham and jumped into the Secretary of State's race. And so now Wes Allen's trying to play catch up. I do believe that Wes Allen is a strong candidate nonetheless, and we'll see where it goes. We'll see. Jeff, you want to opine on your own question?
Yeah, I think it's kind of brilliantly played by Jim Ziegler. Wes Allen crowded out the field. Everyone assumed he was kind of the heir apparent here. His father is a long-serving state senator, Gerald Allen. He was given all the Montgomery sort of establishment support. And I think because of that, scared a lot of candidates away, and then Jim Ziegler parachutes in at the last minute, and it looks pretty well played by Ziegler. But I don't know. I mean, like, how much will the establishment in Montgomery go in to save the state from Secretary of State Jim Ziegler, do you think?
Well, and I'll be honest with you. I don't see this as being artfully played. I think Jim Ziegler looked around and went, oh, I guess I can't run for governor. And just said, well, I got to run for something because I don't know what else to do with myself. I'll pick that one. I don't see this as being the big strategic, I'll keep my cards close to my vest and come parachuting in. I think he literally didn't know what else to do and figured that was one he'd go for. It has a better paycheck. I don't know. It did not feel like it was contrived over long periods of time, in my opinion. That's just me thinking. Dale, you think so?
No, I think you're probably right. I think it's probably it. Jim Ziegler is going to probably burn himself out, hopefully.
Okay. All right, fellas. Listen, I know you guys are on the road. Hang on to your signal, all right? We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back and go to round two on the Grand Council. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We got the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the nether regions of our state on the coast. And our own Dale Jackson and myself from up here at WVNN pinging each other with questions. How do we feel about things? Do we agree? We still love each other when we're done. Phil Williams, we'll be right back.
Here we go!
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going right back to the phones right now. We're on the Grand Council. Do it every Thursday at 4 o'clock with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, Baldwin Counties. And we've also got our own Dale Jackson right here at WVNN. All right, fellas, I got you back on. Let me just take the next question here. So, interesting thing appeared to have happened in the State House in the last 24 hours. Just a few minutes ago, it's breaking. that the school choice bill, the one Senate Bill 140 that we've talked about several times, appears to be, quote, going to a study commission, which is the word for death for this year, for a heavy bill. We also learned through insider information yesterday that the constitutional carry bill, Second Amendment bill, that the House agenda item was actually in caucus meeting. They were talking about recanting their position on a Second Amendment bill because it was getting too scary. I ask you, what in God's name is happening? Do we have any real leadership down there on conservative policy issues? Dale, you first.
No.
Okay, short answer from Dale. You want to expand at all?
Well, I just think they know exactly what the people want, and they're making the decision that instead of giving the people exactly what they want, they're going to try to play to their sheriffs, and they're going to try to play to the AEA. That's what they're doing. So the short answer is no. Long answer is hell no.
Jeff, you.
They got to get some kind of constitutional carry bill done. I don't see how they walk it back at this point. It may be a shell of a bill, and they call it constitutional carry, but they have absolutely got to get that done. I think it is a black eye if they don't, and I think that they will. School choice, I was never bullish on school choice this year. I will say this, I am surprised that it got this far. I thought they would have killed it in the third day, but here it is. We're still talking about it. I talked to Charlotte Meadows the other night about it. You know, they're going to hear from people when this thing goes to go to a quote-unquote study committee, because it hasn't really gotten its just due, at least a hearing from the legislature. So, no, those conservative leadership, they're in the wilderness right now, and conservatives, it seems like.
Yeah, it does, and I agree. And I think that some of the fight that we had in the body, you know, back in 2010 when we first took the legislature back from the Democrats and really from the AEA, it just seems to have kind of gone out of the body right now. They're doing what they got to do to get by, and they have feel good bills. But yet some of the things that should be the simplest, like constitutional carry or school choice, which poll extremely high, both of them are red meat Republican bills. They can't seem to move them because it gets scary, and that irritates the crap out of me. So let me jump off that and go to Dale. You're next, bud.
Governor Kay Ivey weighing in on the Canadian truckers, taking a shot at Justin Trudeau. Well, we have some of our own mandates going on, some masking, and her opposition to the vaccine mandate ban. What is Governor Blackface doing fighting with Prime Minister Blackface when she has her own issues here?
Jeff, you first.
Opportunism makes a good campaign commercial. I don't know. I agree with you, Dale. It does seem there's a shade of hypocrisy there, but no one's going to care in the end.
No, they're not. And if you notice right now, she's a governor, but her best commercial is dissing on the president. So it's not like, you know, she's really running against her opponents right now. She's just running against the things that conservatives talk about. And truthfully, right now, it's Joe Biden and Canadian truckers. And that's really all she, I mean, she didn't even weigh in on the school choice bill. She said boo about it when there are 150 people across the street at the state house, you know, having a rally. She hadn't said anything about this constitutional carry bill. To my knowledge, she's just been kind of laying low and taking pot shots at people that can't answer her, like Justin Trudeau and you know, Joe Biden. All right, Jeff, you got about a minute, bro. What you got?
Literacy Act. Roger Smitherman has a 2-year delay, not just a year delay, but that got through a Senate committee today. Tell the guys, 2 years, I think there's going to be serious backlash to that if they try to delay this thing longer than a year. What do you think?
I think if Roger Smitherman had his way, he would delay it forever. And the reality is they've already established that they don't care about school choice or improving education. So what does 2 years matter? But, you know, to back up the audience here on what's happening is there's a requirement under Alabama law now that they should be able to read at third grade level before promoting on. And now they're having buyer's remorse and starting to try and push that back. Dale?
The AEA declared that this bill that would require that third graders can read was bad for them, and so they fought to kill it. That's all this is, and now they're working to just kill it by 1,000 cuts.
Last word, Jeff. You got 10 seconds. What you think?
There's got to be a Republican willing to stand up to the AEA and make an issue out of this.
Absolutely. Fellers, good as always. Appreciate having the most trusted and the hardest journalist in the entire state of Alabama on the show. All right, the Grand Council, myself, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, back again next Thursday. For right now, though, I got 30 more minutes of time with you. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.